Okay, let's begin. I want to continue our discussion of the Nusach HaTfilah of Rosh Hashanah. Today I have another Sefer. Sefer called Aresha Sifaseinu. In fact, we did one day, we spent some time going through the Shmona Esrei with this Sefer. In this Sefer, Aresha Sifaseinu, he has a section devoted to the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah. So I went through the entire section, and I want to share with you some of the things that I found to be interesting. First thing is this a simple thing? This is not unique to this sefer. This is found in many svarim. How are we permitted to say in the Nusach HaTfilah Zochreinu L'Chaim Melech Chofetz B'Chaim V'Chosfeinu B'Sefer Chaim L'Man Chalakim Chaim in the first three brachos? Everyone adds into the first bracha Zochreinu L'Chaim. Zochreinu L'Chaim is a tefillah, is a bakasha, is a request. And we have a general rule that in the first three barachos, we don't ask requests. We don't make requests. So how are we permitted to make a request during the Aser Simei Tshuva within the first three barachos? So the first answer is desperation. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. When it's an emergency, you can break some of the rules. But the more common answer is that when you're asking for the tzibur, this is a very important yesod, when you're asking for the tzibur, then it's permitted. The only prohibition to ask for a request during the first three brachos are private requests. When you ask requests for the tzibur, then there is no prohibition. That's not what Chazal had in mind when they said the first three brachos are only praise and no requests. You can make a request during the first. So therefore, it's something to keep in mind. Many people, when they say Zochrein Ulchayim, they're thinking about themselves. That's not proper. If you're thinking about yourself during the first three bracha, that I should have life, or an individual should have life, then, but if, even though you're saying in plural, you're thinking about Yechidim, you're thinking about you and your family, your spouse, and your children, whatever it is, that's not proper, because then you are violating the takana that the first three brachas are only requests for Yechid, you're not allowed to make a request during the first three brachas. But if you're having kavana for the tzibur, not for me personally, but for everyone, which in general is a very good thing when you daven, you should think about the tzibur, that is permitted. Okay. Now, yeah?
I have heard that you make the bracha, the first bracha, you say right for chayla.
Yeah?
I remember reading where Twersky said also, I think you say it in the bracha krishma. So you're not allowed to think about the people that are sick in your family. He had a thing he would not say.
Okay, I'm not sure now. Yeah, that's a topic in and of itself. It's a very complicated topic of what you should be thinking, what not, when you ask for a chayla in the bracha of Rifa Einu, Shema Kaleinu, before Shema Nesra is over. It's a very complicated sugya. So Mirat Hashem, one point in time, we'll hopefully get around to it. But it's a very. I don't mean to be. I'm not prepared. It's a very big sugya. In fact, I heard Rabbi Smith give a whole shiur, an hour shiur on this topic. Of Zev Smith, you know, of Zev Smith. So he has a very good CD. He goes through the whole inyan of Rifa'enu, when it's proper to add a name for a family member. Let's say a person is healthy. You want just like everything
I'm
should.
Saying about Rifa'enu in the opening bracha.
Yeah.
You say right
to chayla. Yes, so he discusses that. Right, so he discusses that. There it's being used as praise. You're not making a request. You're making mention of Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Acknowledgement.
It's acknowledgement. It's not a specific. So you're asking, like when you're making that acknowledgement, is it proper to also think in mind an individual?
Yeah.
Probably not. That's not what the goal of the first three brachas are. The first three brachas are an acknowledgement that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a roifei chayla. Later, you'll have an opportunity when you come to bracha. That's the opportunity to make your request, and that's when you should think about people. Right? It's acknowledgement. And there's another famous part. This is the part. It's not in the say, but this is one who mentions Zochrein L'Chaim. It's a very popular from the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says, "What's the simple perush amilos? Zochrein L'Chaim Melech Chofetz B'Chaim." So simply means Zochrein L'Chaim, remember us for life. You Melech, comma, you who are Hashem, you are a Melech, and the truth is Chofetz B'Chaim. You created a world that there should be life. So Chofetz B'Chaim is a term which describes Hashem. Hashem is a Melech who is Chofetz B'Chaim. You're putting a very hard break between the words Zochreinu L'Chaim and Melech Chofetz B'Chaim. Please remember us for life, period. End of statement, end of paragraph. Who? You, Hashem, you are a Melech, and you, Hashem, really want that there should be life, because that's what the purpose of this world is, to live, not to die. Chavetz Chaim says that's not what you should think. It's an incredible Chavetz Chaim. He's taking an expression and he's giving us a whole new interpretation. You should think, Zochreinu L'chaim Melech Chavetz B'chaim, it's going back on what type of life we want. Remember us for life, but give us a life that you, a type of life that you will be pleased with. If a person lives a life where he does Averos, so he has the opportunity to do it, that life is not worth living. If a person is going to be granted time to live in this world and he's going to occupy his time with doing horrible things, causing other people pain and suffering, that's not Chofetz V'chayim, the type of life which Hashem wants. So don't just give us life, open-ended life, which is subject to abuse. Zochreinu L'chayim, Melech, you Hashem, you are the king. Chofetz V'chayim, a type of life that you want us to live. It's a whole new approach. It's not describing Hashem's will, but it's going back on the Zochreinu L'chaim. The type of chaim that we're asking you, the Melech, to give us is a life that you will have nachas ruach from. Melech Chavetz L'chaim, for your sake, that you will appreciate. Right. So this is a very important approach. Most people, when they think of those words, they don't think of it like this way. And this is the Chavetz Chaim. He insisted that this is how people should interpret the pasuk, this expression, when they say these words, that when you're ready thinking about life, Hashem, give me quality life, not just life where who knows I'll do what. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea I actually like very much. Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaZikaron. Why is it called Yom HaZikaron? It's a different expression. How do we pronounce Hashem's name? Everyone has a siddur, and every siddur it says Yud Kei Vavkei. The old siddurim, the old days, used to have two yuds. Remember those days? Yeah. The two yuds. Okay, no more. Today it's hard to find the siddur. Nah, it's not hard. Most siddurim today already they spell Yud Kei Vavkei. By the way, why are there two yuds? Well, let's go to one step at a time. Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vavkei. Do we pronounce Hashem in this fashion? No, we pronounce Hashem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Why? Because we're not ready. We're not ready to appreciate the full depth of Yud Kei Vav Kei, what it stands for. The pasuk says Zeh Shmi Li Olam VeZeh Zichri LeDor Dor. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu His name. Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu that until now I was only known by the name of Kel Shakai. No one knew me by the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. I want to teach you a new name. My new name is Yud Kei Vav Kei, but Zeh Shmi. But the way you're going to pronounce me, you're going to remember me, is Zezichrim. Hashem taught Moshe how to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei as Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. The way we pronounce Hashem, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. So the Mefarshim tell us that Yud Kei Vav Kei represents Rachanim, mercy. The way it's spelled, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud is mastery. Adnos is din, is harshness. In this world, we don't appreciate Hashem's mercy. We're not on a level where we can really see that all of the horrible things that are happening in this world are all really acts of kindness for us. It's impossible. Can't appreciate it. One will say a person is sick. Why is that mercy? It's impossible for the human mind. But if a person saw the world from Hashem's perspective, then you would see it is an act of mercy. Okay, that's impossible to understand. So Yud Kei Vav Kei, to pronounce Hashem the way it's spelled, represents pure mercy. But the way we pronounce it, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, is din. Is din, is harshness. That's why, and how do we capture this expression? Zeh Shmi. My name is really a name of Rachamim. But unfortunately, throughout history, until the coming of Mashiach, V'zeh zichri l'dor dor. The way you're going to remember me, you're going to look at me, man is going to criticize. That's a reality. Go look at the world. The world is very critical. Why the Kadosh Baruch Hu do you bring all these terrible tragedies in this world? Mankind, throughout history, has been very critical of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The way man relates to God is zeh zichri l'dor dor. Hashem is conducting the world what appears to be an attribute of harshness. We don't appreciate that really it's mercy hidden inside. That's why it's called Yom HaZikaron. Because on this day, we focus on Zeh Zichri. we focus on din. We're not focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us, but we focus on Yom HaDin. What is Rosh Hashanah? It's the day of judgment, accountability, din. So we're not focusing on Shmi. It's not the Yom, the Hashem's name, the day of Hashem's name. It's the day of Hashem's remembrance. And the way Hashem is remembered in the Pasuk is Zezichu l'dardar, is Adnos, is Din. So the word Zikaron is just a code for Midah of Yom HaDin. Okay, very simple. Zeshmi v'zezichri. Shmi is Rachamim, Zichri is Din. The way that's explained in the simple reading of the Pasuk is Yudke Vavke in essence is Rachamim, but the way it's pronounced is Din. Therefore, we relate to Yom HaDin as Yom HaZikaron to emphasize the part of the Pasuk, Zezichri Lidar Dar. Okay, let's go to another short idea. We mentioned yesterday that Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Teruah. The Torah does not say it's a day of Tekiah, it does not say it's a day of Shvarim, or a day of crying. It's Yom Teruah. What does it mean, Yom Teruah? So we mentioned yesterday, the only translation we have for Teruah is Yababa. This is the translation of the Targum, Yom Yababa. What does Yababa mean? So the only place that we find it in Tanakh is the mother of Sisera in Shoftim, where there was a battle of Yavin going to battle against Klal Yisrael, and the general of Yavin was Sisera, and Sisera was late in coming home from battle, and the mother of Sisera was looking out of her window waiting for her son to return, and she looked at her watch and said, "He's late. I'm afraid, I have a very bad feeling. Maybe something horrible happened to him in war." And she began to cry. Vatiyabeb Eim Sisera. From the context of the Pasuk, it's clear that she was crying. And the way the Pasuk describes her cry is with the word Vatiyabeb. We now go backwards. It says in the Torah that Rosh Hashanah shall be a Yom Teruah. The Targum translates true with the word Yababa. We know that the sound of the shofar, that it shall be a day of crying. And the sound of the shofar shall be a crying sound. How does one produce a crying sound with a shofar? So either it is a shvarim or a truah or both together. That is the simple interpretation. Now the very great difficulty with this interpretation is how could it possibly be that the makar, the source for something so holy of blowing shofar comes from the mother of the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael. And we can be certain that if this Rasha, Sisera, wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, his mother wasn't much better. Adrab, his mother, raised such a child, you can imagine how incredibly wicked she was. Would anyone go and give an award to the mother of Hitler? I don't think so. Raising such a child is not necessarily a mila. How can it possibly be then that Chazal are learning the holiness of this day from the mother of Sisera? Therefore, there are midrashim of Kasher in Torah Shlema, he brings this out. And over here, he really goes to town with this. He brings other sources. He says an incredible idea that we're not really referring to the mother of Sisera. All we're doing from this pasuk is learning about the cry of a mother. The cry of a mother is a unique cry. It's different. It's a different type of cry. It's not the cry of the average person. If a person cries, so they cry a little bit. When a mother cries for a child, she really cries. It can't possibly be that we're trying to bring out the cry of a wicked mother, of a wicked person. It must be Chazal telling us just to learn the cry of a mother and find in our day another mother who is crying for her child. Who would that be? Sarah. Sarah Imenu. Why Sarah Imenu? Because according to Rachel Avak al Bonneha, very good. Okay, that's a very good point. Excellent. Okay, that's another idea which he doesn't say, but that's something definitely to discuss. Rachel Avak al Bonneha. Rachel is crying for children. Very good. But also refers to, it's interesting, a very good point also. Hagar, talk about Hagar. But Hagar is not, that follows the problem of Sisera. Why would we cry for, focus on the cry of a non-Jewish mother for a non-Jewish child who was a troublemaker? What? To the tshuva, or he's also allowed to do tshuva, but the answer that he gives, that Kasher gives, and it's given in many sources, is that we're focusing primarily on the cry of Sarah Imenu. What do we mean, Sarah Imenu? Sarah, according to tradition, at least some one tradition, there are different opinions, died on Rosh Hashanah. How did she die in Rosh Hashanah? Or died as a consequence of what happened in Rosh Hashanah, because the Akedah, according to some Midrashim, took place on Rosh Hashanah. Some Midrashim tells it took place on Yom Kippur, and some say it took place in Rosh Hashanah. What happened when Sarah Imenu heard that Yitzchak was offered up as an Oilah on Har HaMoriah? So Rashi in Parashas Chayei Sarah says, Parcha Nishmasa. She died. She was in such shock that what that means exactly is not clear. There are many interpretations, either that she did not hear the end of the story, that he survived, or even though she was upset that why did he survive? How could it be that he did not go, that the mission was not completed? Or you don't have to really have any interpretation, just the fact that she heard that her child was offered as a korban, whether he was actually slaughtered or not, was such a traumatic experience, an emotionally high experience for her, whatever that means, parcha nishmasa. And the Medrash says she cried. She gave out a sound, and with that sound, parcha nishmasa. So that is a very holy sound. The whole day of Rosh Hashanah, we focus over and over on the Akedah. In fact, the Ashofar is a zecher for the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. Avram Avinu, after he took down Yitzchak, he offered an ayil. And the ayil, nechaz basvach b'karnav. Blowing of the horn is a reminder of the Akedah. Efer shal Yitzchak sav lefanav. Part of the tefillah of Zichron is we ask Hashem to remember the Akedah. And who cried over the Akedah? Who gave out a cry? Sarah Imenu. So when we blow the shofar, which in essence, holding the shofar, taking hold of the shofar, is a reminder of the Akedah, the sound that we produce is the emotion of Sarah Imenu that she put into the Akedah. When she heard that her son was offered as an Ola, and she was uplifted, or she experienced shock, and gave out a cry, and with that cry, Parcha Nishmasa, that is what we're coming to reenact with the blowing of the shofar. We're not coming to learn from the mother of Sisera that just like she cried, we're also going to cry. Because there's no reason in the world why we would want to imitate, we would want to focus on the cry of a wicked woman of the mother of Sisera. We're only learning from the mother of Sisera that the sound of the shofar is the sound of a mother crying. Now we search for the cry of a mother which has meaning in relation to Rosh Hashanah, which is none other than the cry of Sarah Imenu in her reaction to the Akedah. Or as you said, perhaps, the cry of Rachel Mevake al Boneha. It's a cry for the coming of the Geula, for Mashiach, and that only comes because Rachel gave the Simonim and Hashem answered. The cry of a mother is a different type of cry. That's just the point I want to make.
Okay. By Sisera, you mentioned, Rabbi, that the Targum is the thing that's true. How do we know that?
True is a Yababa. Yababa, what is a Yababa? We learn from the mother of Sisera, it's the cry of a mother. How does a person cry? He cry. Well, there's a cry. A cry is a shvarim tur. That's what we know. But it's more than just, it's more than a cry of a child. It's the depth of the cry, which only can be experienced by a mother. Now, it can't be that we're coming to reenact the cry of Sisera, so we apply it to a Jewish mother's cry. Sorry, Menu or Rachel. Okay, look, I want to just remember one thing, we're running out of time. Okay, let's jump ahead. The Yeda, okay, this is a very just short idea. The Yeda call, one of the nice parts of the two, the Yeda call Pol Kiato Falto, Vyavan call Yitzur Kiato Yitzarto, Vyavan call Asher Neshama Vyapo, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Malchuso Bakol Mashallah. What are these expressions? There are three expressions. Yeda Kol Pu'ul, Yavin Kol Yitzur, and the Yoimar Kol Andesher Neshama V'Apa. Okay, this is a short word, just to make things very short, to go through the sources. The Pu'ul refers to the domain. That everything that grows, every object that exists in this world, believe it or not, according to Chazal, has some degree of intelligence. A stone has some type of mazel. A blade of grass, it's a medrash, every blade of grass has a malach telling it, grow, grow, grow. Every object, whether we realize it or not, has a degree of intelligence. And they recognize that there is a creator on their level. Look, you can't say, that's even a doine. but their level of intelligence is extremely limited. The Yeda kol Po'ol. Po'ol means an action. The creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even the level of a domain, will recognize that there exists a creator. Next, the Yavin kol Yitzur. Every human being, even a non-Jew, we know has Bina, has Seichel. The Yoimer kol Asher Neshama Be'apo. The only one that has this thing called the Neshama, Chazal tell us, is Klal Yisrael. A Goy has a Ruach. It's not the same term. A non-Jew has a Ruach. A Neshama is only for Yisrael. So when we're focusing, we're building up, Yeda kol pol, the domain will have the Das. Yavin kol Yitzur is the non-Jews will recognize there's a creator. But the one that will come to the ultimate expression of knowledge, which includes a Dibur, the Yoimar, the knowledge will burst forth in expression. That's even a higher level. We know that when you speak, when you explain something, you understand it much better. It's one thing when you understand something in your mind, but when you are forced to give it off, you're a teacher, and you're forced to bring out a point, to repeat it, to express it, it deepens your understanding. The one that will come to the greatest depth of understanding and recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that has the Neshama, and that is Klal Yisrael. You say this so many times during the Yom Narayim, this expression, all the tefillos you say this, it's kedai to relate to this idea. There's the domain, also knows, Yeda, a guy also has Bina, but Klal Yisrael has the Neshama. They'll come to the highest level of understanding, which is expressed through Dibur, through Amira. Yeah.
Where then,
when
someone comes to Ger, they get a Neshama?
The Ger, yes, the Ger then gets the Neshama, according to Chazal. He gets the Neshama at a later point in time. Yeah, but when he's born, he only has a Ruach. Okay, let me jump ahead. We're going to have to go and just tell you two more things. This is a very interesting idea. I don't fully understand it, and I leave it to you to develop. We focus very much on Noach in the Seder Hatzfilah on Rosh Hashanah. V'gametz Noach ba'ava zacharta v'yifkdeu. I forget all the words. The whole section, a ganze section, the Nusach Atil Dvot to Noach. What's Noach? All of a sudden, Noach has to do over here with this whole thing. So there are many zechiris. You want to talk about zechiris? So we give Noach more time than we give Avraham.
Yes, we
give Avraham a lot. If count the words, if I'm not mistaken, we probably have more words devoted to Noach, the zechira of the Mabul and the Chayos, Hashem Ateva, to Noach than we even give. But what's going on? What's this all about? So I saw something which is fascinating. It has to be developed in much greater time. It needs to uncover the deeper meaning of this. We all are familiar that the word Elohim always means Midas Hadin. Everyone knows that. Yudke Vavke is Midas Harachamin. Elohim is Midas Hadin. There's one exception, perhaps the entire Tanakh, where the word Elohim is Midas Harachamin. And it's not clear exactly why. You have to look and understand what this means. I'm telling Rosh Hashanah by the Mabel. Vayizkar Elohim es Noach. The Targum Yerushalmi says, what does it mean by Yiskar Elohim? It means Rachamim, with mercy. At that point, let me read you the words. V'gametz Noach be'ahava. Hear the words of the Nusach HaTfilah. V'gametz Noach be'ahava zacharta. Kakosu b'sarasecha. V'yizkar Elohim es Noach. So look in the Targum Yerushalmi. There are three Targums. Targum Unkelis, Targum Yerushalmi Uziel, and we have snippets. It's not printed in most of the editions of the Mikros Gedolos because it was not available until about 50 years ago, until the Vatican accidentally released the Targum, full version of Targum Yerushalmi. But at least I think we have in the snippets that we do have, Vayidkar Berachamuye. Hashem remembered Noach with compassion, with rachamim. On the word Elohim, all of a sudden Elohim became rachamim. Very unusual. Why is that so? I don't know.
Rashi says.
Rashi, what does it say? Okay, so it's Mamash Rashi, Mamash.
Because
the Gemara, it was Nepach, the Midas Hadin was Nepach, the Midas Rachamim. That's the key to Noach. That is the key to understand, at least according to this approach, why we give Noach the limelight on Rosh Hashanah. Because it is one of the only places in Chumash, from the biblical stories, where we find the word Elohim being used in the Pasuk, and it being used in the context of Rachamim. Hashem created the world. Bereish bara Elohim. And then he said, oh no, it's too much for this world Elohim. Beyond Bero Hashem Elohim. Hashem changed his mind. No more am I going to let the world operate. Leave this at them. Going to be Beyond Bero Hashem Elohim. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Mishtatef Rachamim with Din. All over the Torah it's consistent. When it says Elohim, it's Din. Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's Rachamim. This is the exception. The exception is the Mabul to the Tilo of the Tzadikim, to Noach. It was Nishapech Din Terachim, and that is the agenda, what our agenda is on Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom HaDin, we are deserving of harm, and we mispalo to Hashem that even the Din should be maskim, that there should be Rachamim. And that's why we say, Be'ahava, Vayizkor Elokim, V'gam Esnoch Be'ahava Zocharta. Okay, one last vart before I leave you. We have here this beautiful expression, Shemeya, when you make, we make the bracha, Shemeya kol shofar, umazin terua ve'ein do melach. Hashem listens to the sound of the shofar, and he is mazin to the terua, and there's no one that can compare it to our Kaddish Baruch. What is this, what does this mean? This doesn't make sense. What is this elaboration? There's no one that, why all of a sudden are we saying that there's no one that's comparable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with regard to the listening to the Truah? Why did the Mechaber, the author of this tefillah, change from Shemeya called Shofar to now the word Hazana Mazin? The answer is, according to this Sefer, we mentioned before, when we started today, that the word Trua means a Yababa. And what's a Yababa? A Yababa, we learn from the mother of Sisra, is a cry of pain. And not just a cry of any pain, it's the cry of a mother's pain. That's serious business. But if you search in the Torah, you'll learn that the word Trua is also used as a cry of joy. I'll give you two examples. One example is, well, it's not a nice example, but by the eagle. It says, Kol Ha'om, Yeshua says to Moshe, I hear people, they're making a lot of noise. Moshe says, Kol Ha'om Bireo. The sound of the people, they're making shouts, they're shouting. Now, what does it mean, Bireo? Bireo simply means shouts. Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says, Miyabiba Biched Vasa. They're Yababa, the same exact words. Teruoi. Miyababa bichedvasa. They're dancing around the egel. They're celebrating. They're shouting cries of joy. Yababa, same exact word in reference to joy. Another example of the word usuruas melechbo. The friendship of the king is bow. The Targum Yonas ben Uziel says, "Vivavos Malka Mishcha Miyabin." That the king is they're rejoicing. From the context of the pasuk, it's Yababa, but it's a Yababa of Simcha. So it comes out that we have in Targum and Tanakh Yababa, a cry. The same word too, Yababa, is used in reference to a cry of pain, and it's also used in reference to a cry of joy. So what is it? So the answer is both. When we blow shofar, there are many reasons why we blow shofar. The primary one reason is because it's a zecher of a cry of pain. We're crying out to you the cry of a mother. Rachel mevaka al banecha. Sora imenu. We learn from the mother of Sisra, the cry of mother. We are in great suffering. It's a cry. But it's also a cry of joy. What's the cry of joy? We have the greatest simcha that we have the opportunity on Rosh Hashanah to anoint, to declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. So what is it? Is it a cry of joy that we are proud to declare you our king? Or is it a cry of pain that we are in a state of despair, we are suffering, we need help, we're in a desperate state? So the answer is it's both. How could it be both? When it comes to sound, we have a principle, Ein trei kolay mishtame. You keep, if two people are talking at the same time, you don't hear anyone. When it comes to a sound, you only hear one thing. You can't hear in a sound. A human being cannot pick up in sound multiple ideas. Vision, you can see many things. I can see many people at the same time. But I can't hear two people talk at the same time. And for that matter, if you're saying something, I can't hear in your voice two different messages. I only hear one message. That's why when it comes to the sound of the Trua, when it comes to the Kol Shofar, the sound of the Shofar, we hear at Tekiah, Hashem hears the Kol Shofar. But when it comes to the Trua, where the Torah translates Trua as a Yababa, and a Yababa means both pain and joy, we change words. We don't just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, Shemea. Hashem is Mazin. Mazin has a connotation, a deep listening. Studying the depth of what's coming, the sound. Trua, the Ein Dom Eloch, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to hear multiple sounds at the same time.
Mazin
Umeivin. Understands. Mazin. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this koach to hear two sounds at the same time, or to hear in one sound multiple expressions, meanings in one sound. And that is a perish, a very beautiful, simple perish. I'm trying to perish Amilus. Azinu Hashem. Okay, there it's being used in the poetic way. Okay, you have to know, but it's a very, very simple perish. You say this in that three, six times. You say yourself and you hear the Chaz say this in Rosh Hashanah. Shemea kol shayfer, umazin terua ve'ein dar melach. The Trua in the Torah is translated as a Yababa. And the Yababa in the Targum is used two ways. Simcha and the ultimate pain. What are we doing? We're doing both. We have the greatest Simcha in the Mamluch U.S. King, and we cry out to you in great pain. We are very desperate. Only you, Hashem, can hear both of those cries at the same time. Therefore, Mazin, you hear the depth of what we're saying. The Ein Damalach. This is something that's unique to you, Hashem. No other human being can appreciate what's coming out of the Kol Shofar. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day. Yit Hashem, tomorrow.